Blog Talk Radio.
Convince Granny to watch that because she'll like it better than what we saw as fans of Survivor Series. Speaking of Annie Hulkster, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, The Incomparable, the always on time, the fan with more, well, class than sass. It's kind of a really, and more, let's get down to brass tack. Granny Hulkster, how you doing?
Well, hello, B-Train. How are you today? And hello, wrestling fans all over the world. And yes, early happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Hope you're enjoying time with friends and family as we get ready to celebrate a day of thanks.
Yes, folks. We've got a lot of thankful things to be thankful for. Like, for example, you know, I, despite Granny a clean sweep at Survivor Series, I wasn't, you know what, I looked at it as, okay, what can I find that I like that could make the broadcast a lot easier for me? Lesnar, Daniel Bryan was surprisingly decent. It wasn't as terrible as I thought it was going to be, and plus I'll go backwards. Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura seems to be overlooked, and I'm kind of, you know, just shocked at how people, well, it was terrible, blah, 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 didn't win. Yes, I am, and 100% agree with you, Lyle. I'm already getting Instagram messages telling me, hey, gee, I should go off the deep end, B-Train. No, look, guys, SmackDown Live proved that I guess even though you are a much better show ratings-wise, or you know, and also attention-getter-wise and underdogs and wrestling, period, and quality, doesn't really matter because if you're not supplying money to the big, big people and the big wigs, you're not going to really have a say-so. But we are going to have the right to express our concerns. And Granny, one of my concerns is, year after year, Monday Night Raw wins at Survivor Series. Don't you think, in the immortal words of Owen Hart, the late great Owen Hart, God rest your soul, enough is enough, and it is time for a change. And it's time for a change.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, as much, and now, Granny, on the eve of this, Braun Strowman is hurt. Oh, great.
Yes.
Raw's saddled. Yeah, so that makes it a lot harder for us to sit back and be like, okay, so who are you going to call up from NXT to replace Braun Strowman? Because I can think of one replacement, Granny. This man is absolutely frightening, although they're not going to do it because he's got a feud going on with Velveteen Dream and Tommaso Ciampa down in NXT. There's just too much. I mean, Granny, there's just way too much, you know, going on Monday Night Raw. There's just no substance behind it. You know, I had Mickie James faced Rousey last night in the championship match, which I'm sure Rousey easily won. And it's just like, I was reading through some posts on Facebook about, well, I didn't watch the show, but let me guess, if I was in power, but I'm not, the show was terrible, blah, 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 so-and-so deserved a push. And I kind of had a laugh about it, so it kind of prompted me to do a review like this. Yeah, there were three moments at Survivor Series. It's hard to get through, folks. 3.5 hours, Granny. Imagine that. We have to actually watch this shit, folks, because we're broadcast journalists and we have to report it to you guys. So it's really hard to sit back and find some positive. So I guess if I go from here, Shinsuke Seth, wow, what a match. Been wanting to see this for a long time. The 10-man, you know, traditional 5-on-5 Survivor Series match, that, I mean, it did go back and forth, but it's like, okay, let's have Braun Strowman eliminate four people that are the most credible names in wrestling history. Rey Mysterio, The Miz, well, Shane McMahon for other various, you know, contributions that he's done for the business. I mean, Granny, it's like a power football team going up against a weakling, you know, a weak link, and you're like, well, this was fun, not really. I didn't even get a fight.
It's kind of like last night when Monday Night Raw started off. You started off Monday Night Raw with Baron Corbin in the ring, and all of a sudden Braun Strowman is there, Stephanie McMahon is there, and, you know, he says, I did my part, now you need to oblige by your part of the rules, you know. So what does she do? She makes a match between Braun Strowman and Baron Corbin, you know, at TLC. And if Strowman won, basically Baron Corbin would lose everything. If Baron Corbin won, then, you know, he would be the permanent general manager for Raw forever and ever and ever. You know, and then look what happens to Strowman, you know, at the end of the night last night. He gets hurt, you know. And sorry, I think what they did there was a little uncalled for, because Corbin knew exactly what he was doing. I mean, it's, you know, he doesn't like Strowman. He doesn't want any part of Strowman, you know. And now we got to sit there and, you know, listen to boring Corbin all the time. I mean, you know, and last night, even when Dean Ambrose was talking about what was going on between him and Seth Rollins, you know, I kind of felt sorry for Renee Young being grilled, so to speak, you know, by Corey Graves and Michael Cole, you know, especially Corey Graves. It's like, well, you know what's been going on. You know what's been going on. Okay. Yes, she might know some of the things, but just because she's married to Dean Ambrose doesn't mean that she's going to know everything, people. I mean, I just felt really sorry for Renee Young last night. I really did. I was kind of flipping in between the channels last night, you know, and I just kind of, you know, I really felt sorry for Renee Young last night. I think that was a little uncalled for, but hey, you know, us women got to stick together. I'm sorry, you know.
I believe that, you know, Corey Graves is quite the inquirer. Oh, and speaking of which, you know, the other interesting thing that happened, it was a non-participant. There was a non-participant former WWE superstar from NXT and also on the main roster for a brief hiccup and 205 Live. Did you happen to see, Granny, that Enzo Amore happened to, you know, traverse the Staples Center and he got kicked out?
Yes, I saw that. I wasn't exactly, I mean, I just saw bits and pieces on, you know, Facebook, and I didn't get to watch Survivors. I mean, I didn't get to watch it. I wasn't feeling good Sunday night, so I went to bed early. But, you know, I saw bits and pieces on Facebook, people talking about it, you know, and him sitting in the crowd and, you know, getting kicked out of the building. And now he's banned from the Staples Center forever and ever and ever, you know. And just another person wasting my time. But, you know.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate, but it's also kind of bad that that gets more attention than, you know, the pay-per-view itself. What happened, Granny, at Survivor Series, you know, the crowd reaction, they said they weren't trying to, you know, push people a certain way. They weren't trying to give Ronda Rousey. It was like, look, you guys can say what you want to say about giving the fans. I've been on the other fucking side of the spectrum. I'm not stupid. And I'm going to say it, you know, if you particularly give us Ronda Rousey as a champion, at least she shows up for work, yes. But at the same token, she needs to learn how to fucking work inside the ring. One must wonder, who is training her? Who the fuck is training her? Because there's no rhyme or reason why she should take a freaking face bump on the bottom buckle granny, and it looked like she wasn't ready. So it's like, are you sure you know what you're doing, dear? Because she, all her offense consists of is hip toss, judo throw. She barely knows how to do a clothesline. She's been taught how to do a trap suplex. And I'm sorry. I can't, like, some of the stuff that she does in ring does not look safe at all. If I were a female and I were competing against her, I would not feel safe at all. And I'm pretty sure when Charlotte blew up, it's like, you know, Graves said maybe she didn't see herself as an equal anymore to Ronda. I'm thinking she's a flare. Really? I mean, I criticize Charlotte a lot, Granny. But this moment in time, when she took a kendo stick and started beating the ever-living crap out of Ronda,
it made
me smile, because it's like, we the fans would like to make a declaration of fan dependence. And see what I'm doing there? I'm adding words, because if we don't supply money to you, oh, so we don't buy shit off the network. We don't buy shit off shop. We don't go to Ticketmaster. That's a third-party company. No. Ticketmaster is affiliated with WWE, as is StubHub, as is a bunch of other places, because they have to get the profit, even though you pay an arm and a leg for fucking Mania tickets. But I feel bad for the 17,000 people that went inside the Staples Center, because comparatively speaking to NXT War Games, that show had a lot more elements to it, and it was simple. It was a simple show that created a lot of valuable entertainment, Granny. I mean, it was an hour less. I mean, it was two hours and some odd minutes long. But my God, Granny, War Games between Undisputed Era and, you know, versus the War Raiders, Pete Dunne, and Ricochet. And Granny and I know the rules of War Games are a little bit different now. A little bit. They're still the same in some regards, but that match compared to the main event, which was, you know, it wasn't bad, it wasn't good, it was okay. I mean, it was better than I thought. I'm talking about Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar. I cringe, folks, whenever I mention him, because I didn't want to centralize the focus on him, because it's negative energy, man. He is not a representation of a WWE championship. I can say this because I've been a fan not as long as Granny, not as long as some of you guys. But when I was a kid, I grew up around ECW more so than WWE or F or whatever. But I remember the champions that were Hogan, Warrior, Savage, let's see here, on down the list, Austin, Flair, The Rock, Triple H, Jeff Hardy at one hiccup, The Undertaker, of course. Yeah, those guys represent a championship, The Miz even. I mean, even when he held the champion, Ziggler, McIntyre at one point, Mark Henry. Those guys knew what it was to represent the company that they work for. But Lesnar, are you fucking fracking kidding me? Daniel Bryan, Granny, made him look good. And that's what you're supposed to do. And now what I was reading online, and not just online but from other people, is, okay, so it's not based off what we think is, you know, storyline angles. I don't give a fuck about that. What I care, you know, and they said was, how the crowd reacts. Well, if you cared about how the crowd reacts, do some digging. The crowd did not like Survivor Series, not because, oh, you're shoving this guy down our throat, you're shoving that gal down our throat. No, it's because the reactions you're getting it's like you're forcing us. It's like, you know, granny, when you're a child and you don't want to eat your veggies, and yet you're being force-fed broccoli, and you're like, ew, the look on that child's face in the meme, ew. You know, forcing us against our will to eat stuff we don't want to eat, and that is, like, not just Rousey and Lesnar, but Survivor Series entirely. Do you guys not get the hint? SmackDown Live is way better than Raw. It's way more compelling TV, and it's unfortunate that Becky got injured, and granny, ooh, Nia got booed. She got booed out of the building when she got in the ring, man. It was, ooh-wee. That reaction was legit organic. That I get them in that aspect, trying to make Nia completely heal. Some are saying, you know, there's kind of a feud granny between Jericho and Becky Lynch on social media. Big shocker there. That's how we fight nowadays, folks. We don't fight face-to-face. We fight on social media. Because I have mad respect for Jericho and what he's done in the business, and I also have mad respect for Becky Lynch. But it's amazing.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting. We were talking last night on our show last night about how, you know, Raw dominated basically, you know, SmackDown. And I think it was Big Swing that brought it up first. And, you know, you can voice your opinion however you want to voice it, you know, and but basically, in so many words, the point he was trying to make was because SmackDown Live does have more viewers than Monday Night Raw does, don't you think that's why they basically had Raw dominate Survivor Series? Because of them, you know, to try to build up, try to build up their viewers a little bit more. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That was just an opinion that was made, but, you know.
Yes, I see his point in doing so and how they were trying to angle it that way, but that's a very old school mentality when you look at it that way, because I'm not saying Big Swing is wrong. I just got, you know, the impression that Monday Night Raw is not the most appealing brand. Why? Because it's not, as I said, it's the main word, or three words. Keep it simple, stupid. They complicate, you know, angles and lines all the time, so we don't know who's feuding with whom. We get now that Baron Corbin and, you know, Strowman are feuding. We understand that. But, Granny, at what point, you know, you see this from a mile away, oh, here comes the promo. Like, seriously, guys, if you guys would like to improve upon the show, so that not only Granny and I and all the other fans that are sending us messages through Instagram, like, for real, dude, I've got 86 messages saying Raw sucks eggs, Raw is terrible, go away Raw. That's just, and these are one sentence messages, dude, from random users. The point that I'm trying to make to you all is, if you want, you know, maybe we could suggest till we're blue in the face, but until the powers that be see otherwise, then we're not really going to have a say. We're just blowing hot air. Do they listen to us? Yeah, but do they flip the switch on us multitudes amount of times? Yeah, they do. There's silver linings, though, however. You know, it's Mania season and Rumble's coming up in Arizona. I'm not going because after seeing last year's debauchery of, you know, Asuka and Shinsuke winning the Rumble and not getting a title afterwards, really? Okay, so Charlotte Flair, you know, I'm up and down with her, Granny. I'm very bipolar with how they portray her because her character, I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm going to be the same person. I'm going to be functioning. I have a job, whatever, you know. It is what it is. But at the same
time, and sometimes, you know, sometimes they do give us what we want, but sometimes when they do give us what we want, sometimes it's a little too late. Just my opinion.
Sometimes it's a trap. Sometimes it's a trap, and it's like, Granny's right. It's a little too late because look I mean, Evolution has been a long time coming. That pay-per-view was amazing. We're not trashing WWE, sir. What we're saying is we're objectifying, or not objectifying, we're observing and reporting, you know, what we see, that is what is presented to us, you know, through the network, on cable TV, because you can't sit there and look at the past all the time. But my God, man, when they had the Monday Night Wars, that was the best product that Raw ever put out, in my opinion, because they were forced to get outside their comfort zone, and now their only competition is their partners, like Ring of Honor, Evolve, the sister company, and CZW is partnered with WWE in some way, shape, or form. Because look, that's where Ambrose came from, Cedric Alexander, and a whole bunch of others, you know. And yeah, you're not going to stay in the independents forever, brother. I get that. But at the same token, when you have to look up to, okay, which company would you like to work for? My answer would be any. Any that gives you the opportunity to work for, you know, a better living situation. You're not going to sit there and be like, oh, no, I want to stay with Joe Schmo's company forever. The WWE is like, it's not the end of the line, man, because these companies that have, like, projected themselves as big names like Ring of Honor, you know, House of Hardcore, House of Glory, Overdrive Wrestling is another one, you know, with, you know, the one that Kurt Gannon went to and he wrestled Tyrus, a.k.a. Brodus Clay. Point I'm trying to make is, Granny and I are saying when they give us a pay-per-view that's great, we always in the back of our minds are going to think, is it a trap or are they going to continuously do this?
Sometimes I feel like they're trying to, you know, dangle that little hook like a fish, like when you go fishing, you know, and they're dangling that little hook out there for us to snatch onto that bait, you know, and reel us in, you know, and sometimes it's not a bad thing, but sometimes it's not a good thing either, you know, and I'm a firm believer that, first of all, nobody's going to tell me what I can and cannot do. I don't care who they are. I mean, they think that they can try, and more power to them. But, you know, if I don't want to watch something, I won't watch it. I don't care what it is. I don't care if whoever is creating that program or that entertainment, if they may think it's the greatest thing in the world. Okay, that's their opinion. But I, too, just like everybody else, we have our opinions. You know, don't force us to do something that we don't want to do. Because when you do that, it might not be so good in with the end results. Just throwing that out there.
Because when Granny has to bring, she brings up a great point, or great points, because if you're a wrestling fan now, okay, Granny and I've got plenty of options. Do you know what those options are? Granny has UWE, she has let's see here, WFC, I have New Breed, I have various other organizations that Kurt is tied to because he's my big brother in wrestling, and in, you know, in metaphorically speaking, in life. So what we are trying to say is, if you think that you run out of options for wrestling, there's always a silver lining. Now, there used to be, you know, limited options because the independents weren't well perceived or well known. Now, granted, some locals will tell you, well, we knew about it. This is before Google Maps and all the apps and stuff were up to date and everything. NWA was existing, WCCW, and then it turned into WCW. The NWA turned into WCW. Wrestling really is about capturing the fans' attention, good or bad, yes. But when you capture our attention in a way in which makes you believe, okay, for example, Renee Young's situation with Dean Ambrose. Okay, Just because she's married to the guy doesn't mean she can uncork him and unleash him to the world. Second of all, we know Corey Graves can be a jackass. Third of all, I don't mind it because I think Corey's actually, you know, phenomenal as a color commentator. In regards to Raw as a whole, I told you, I quit watching after Crown Jewel because Crown Jewel was just fucking horrible. It was absolutely horrible. And you're going to – the only reason why I can think that WWE is okay with it is because it was their biggest payday from all the money they've been losing. There, I said it. I'm not going to hide behind closed doors. Yeah, there's silver linings. There's, you know, we can find other wrestling, and we can entertain ourselves that way. Now, as far as, you know, me going to WrestleMania 35 next year, yes. I will traverse WrestleCon, and I will go to Ring of Honor. It may really chafe a few people the way that I, you know, am thinking. But, Granny, I've been to so many WrestleManias, and not one of them except for but 29, ironically, was decent. 30 was okay. 31 had its moments. 32, holy crap, that place ran out of water. 33, ooh, well, you know, same thing. They had water issues. And not only that, I mean, it was fun. It was the atmosphere. It was the ambiance of being at a WrestleMania. 34, I think I had more fun at Hall of Fame than I did at the actual WrestleMania itself. There was some good moments. There's some bad moments. But like Granny said, it's like when they lower that fishing hook, lower that bait on that hook, sometimes we take it and we say, man, what a pay-per-view. Then we turn right back around like the pay-per-view at Survivor Series this year in 2018 and say, what the hell? What the hell did you guys just do?
Are you guys doing this on purpose? Time with this? Why did we waste our time with this?
Yeah, it's like you pay $9.99, that's less than NFL Network, and you go. I go sometimes, you know, and bide my time, but pay attention to what's on Monster Factory's network because Danny's partnered with Ring of Honor Dojo, and most of the people there, you know, they're affiliated. They could easily get to back to NXT, or they could, you know, reinvent themselves or whatever their mission in life for wrestling is. You know, it's easy for us to criticize, yes, Caleb, but the reason why we do it is because it's our job. And we don't get paid. If we were getting paid, it'd be a whole different atmosphere. There's ways to profit from this, but Granny and I do other things to make us money. And so to answer your question, why do you criticize the E only? Oh, no. I could criticize other organizations, but I don't do that because I don't know them well enough. I don't know Wrestling Revolver well enough. I don't know Ring of Honor well enough. But I do know that when you don't entertain the fans, the simple word that WWE stands for is entertainment. Well, I don't know what to say other than I miss the days when the pyro was involved at the entrance scenes. I miss the days when some matches, not all, had some color in it. It's like you guys are afraid to fucking blade. That's not the issue in wrestling. What are you teaching the young people that come into wrestling? Because it's like NXT, they kind of keep that alive. The not just the hardcore element, but the infatuation with who attacked Aleister Black for the longest time, or, you know, Velveteen's dream, you know, his rise to the top. All of a sudden, you know, he was in an NXT championship match, and he gave Tommaso Ciampa a run for his money. Or the fact, you know, that Matt Riddle basically KO'd Cassius Ohno in 3 seconds. That was quicker than Sheamus's bro kick, whatever, however you say it. So, yeah, contrast notes between those two. And I can say what I like and what I didn't like because it's my God-given right, okay? I'm not entitled. Granny's not entitled. So I don't know why you're saying that we are self-entitled fans who are whining and bitching about what we can't change. That's just rude, dude. Oh, goodness. Yeah, according to this person, You guys are nothing but self-entitled whiny bitches who sit there and talk about Lesnar in the three quarters of your show, and then we have one person who goes, jumps from topic to topic, and never really centers around his point. Well, Caleb, here, let me inform you. Until you get a podcast on your own, until you pay $39 per month, I'm going to say what Chris Jericho said when he was in WWE and still says. Would you please shut the hell up?
Exactly.
Oh, we got another caller. Hang on a minute. Okay. Should I answer the question? Hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Cool. Yeah, I literally just tuned
in,
but it sounded like a... It's Tom, first-time caller, but I literally just tuned in. Sounded like solid rant.
Okay.
I liked it. yeah, so, I mean, I literally just tuned in. Are you guys talking Survivor Series, or I can kind of hop in... wherever. I don't
yeah,
want to
we're talking Survivor
Series. Yeah,
days,
we've been
man.
Talking
we're
about Survivor Series. Where are you calling from?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry, my phone was cutting out for a second. New York City.
New York City.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Yeah. So
cool.
So I think I can tell you guys are probably frustrated with the overall product too. I think. I don't know. The weird thing about kind of the last 2 years of the WWE is just like every crazy thing I ever thought was too insane to be true about Vince. Watching Trump run the United States has made me realize that basically Vince is Trump and that every crazy possible thing I ever thought couldn't be true about Vince is 100% true. He really is the one man sitting back there making these absurd choices happen. I thought Survivor Series was... There were a few, I mean, getting past all the early stage booking where, yes, it's sad that they've destroyed the tag team division. Yes, it's sad that they've basically destroyed can't-miss prospects like Shinsuke Nakamura and things like that. And just kind of looking at the last two matches, I think those, to me, more than anything, kind of, I don't understand even how they're running themselves on a business level at this point, right? At this point, you have a network, which... more or less, most of us have either forgotten that we pay for or I've worked it into our budget monthly to pay $9.99, right? When Reigns goes down with an injury, I think what's insane about Reigns going down with an injury is if you look at multiple layers, one, the unwillingness to turn Reigns heel and then the willingness to turn anybody heel the week after, it really says something. I think the other thing is just this – like, I think most fans, you know, outside of, look, it sucks that this happened to Roman Reigns. It's really terrible. I really do hope that he gets, like, better and whatnot. But I think from a pure product perspective, I think any fan would tell you that they're almost excited to see a product without him there for a bit, and they're actually probably more likely to tune in without him there. And I think Vince, on the other end, thinks that Reigns is such a massive draw that he has to shake all these things up, that he has to pull the title off Styles, that he has to do all of these things. I think the main event of a Survivor Series, Brian Lesnar, had me torn for multiple reasons, right? I think one, on kind of the good side, they did, honestly, until the end, a pretty masterful job booking that match. Like, they played on every single fan's fear for the first 7 minutes of that match. One, anyone that knows any history of Brian and saw that first German suplex, they shouldn't have let that happen. But, hey, like, that took me out of the match because I thought this guy's, like, lips quivering. I'm like, he has a concussion. The match continues. They allow it kind of to play out as I really thought. They were just going to bury Brian. They were going to have Lesnar beat him in 7 minutes. Brian was going to get no offense in at all. Then you have the comeback, and it turns into this fantastic match. And then they put Lesnar over, which was stupid. But I'm sitting there thinking, like, man, they have so few matches left that are these massive draws between guys that are still in their at least theoretical wrestling prime that fans have not seen. We've seen every single combination of active wrestler essentially a million times. You have this one combination that easily could have main evented a WrestleMania that came across just as good as we always dreamed it would. And instead of having it as a WrestleMania main event with a proper story build where Brian can go over and like you can actually send fans home happy for something they want to see, you have a match that is incredible, cobbled together in 5 days with a super random heel turn that makes no sense in the context of the match. And it just, to me, it was this diatribe of like how good they could be, how much talent they do have, like how good of a match that they booked for 80 to 90% of it. And then this last 10% of just this one old guy who is Vince McMahon, who is at this point ruining his own legacy with his like insular one track viewpoint of how to book things. And I think you see fans, when they start to boo Rousey, they're not booing Rousey, for example, because they dislike her. They're booing Rousey because they see another Roman Reigns forming. They see another person that no matter how they react to her is not going to be turned like heel, that is going to be on their television winning every match and is going to be affecting a women's division that is honestly the best thing in the whole of Federation right now. And so I think what's tough is that you see NXT, right? I mean, I can't remember the last time. Like, there's not a lot of corporations out there that are their own competition. NXT is this unbelievable product. They have the talent within their own fucking organization to book proper outcomes and build matches properly and make the fans care. And then they have this main product, which has unbelievable production and incredible technology attached to it with their network. It is so, and it's run from a business standpoint and marketed so well, and they can't book their freaking product. Like, I've never seen a better run organization that is worse at their core. That's my rant. That was Survivor Series in a nutshell, and basically the last 2.5 to 3 years in a nutshell. And I don't know what it's going to take for them to get better, because dictatorship, not a democracy.
Well, you made some very valid points. And can you tell us your name?
Tom.
Tom. Well, Tom, we thank you for definitely calling in to our show and giving us your feedback on, you know, Survivor Series and how you are feeling about what the WWE is doing. And we always enjoy having callers call in and, you know, because it kind of makes it fun for someone to give their opinion other than us giving our opinion how we feel about it all the time. So,
yeah. Cool.
That's a very insightful, you know, way of putting it. You know, I got to say, those people, you know, collectively say that Vince is the safe. So, yes, he does. Hunter's main love child of NXT, you know, this all began with OVW, FCW, and all that. The reason why Maine doesn't really pay much attention is because unless you really catch the attention of one of the higher-ups, then you're really not going to be able to present yourself as a marketable, you know, gimmick or whatever. And let's see here, Shinsuke Nakamura and Asuka and all the, you know, the foreign gimmicks. Well, let's see. But, you know, it's funny, man. I have heard from the grapevine with some of my friends that are in developmental that have told me the reason why Asuka has not been pushed further than what she's being pushed as is because her English is terrible. So really, so why did we give Shinsuke the foreigner's belt, Asuka the shit show? You know, because, or they put her in limbo, my bad. And now we're back to Charlotte Flair because, ironically, Becky's face gets broken by Nia Jax. And I don't want to read too much into that because there's quite the social media war, you know, between Becky Lynch and Jericho. And I wanted to get your take on, like, social media wars between wrestlers, man. I mean, when that's more entertaining than the product itself, what do you think that means for wrestling as a whole?
Well, I think Becky, though, her act is the social media piece. I mean, she's fantastic at it. I think, like, she is, I think in a lot of ways, like, they don't, opposite of what they think is going to happen is happening. And I think that perhaps what we're starting to see occur is writers below McMahon starting to book heels as baby faces, essentially, to get around some of this stuff. I think where you see the issues is whenever someone comes out up against Rousey or Reigns, they're going to have issues. The social media piece, I mean, is a huge piece of, like, the Becky lore at this point. Like, we have Rousey on one end, and one of the reasons I think Rousey started to get booed is that, like, Rousey comes up with these not very good promos. I mean, she's getting talked under the bus by Becky on every single place. So I think, like, look, I don't think the product is – it wouldn't be – like, Asuka and Shinsuke, right? Like, that's just base – I mean, if you think, let's say Vince Russo, right? He came from the tree of Vince. Like, you don't let Vince Russo rise up so high in your organization unless he shares some traits with you. Vince Russo constantly didn't believe that minorities could get over. How hard is it today with the mass amount of potential managers that they have? Like, Asuka could have been booked like Rousey and not have to talk. Like, people don't need promos from someone like Asuka. Like, Shinsuke Nakamura, it wasn't just that they made him talk when he first came up. It was like, you could tell it was the Vince McMahon thing. It's like, oh, this guy's a little different. He has a different entrance. Let's call him the artist. It's like the small little things that take you out of the make-believe that you're supposed to be trying to experience with these guys, where it's like, no, Shinsuke Nakamura is not the artist because he wears different clothing or does different stuff. Like, he's just Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, and like their decisions that wins and losses don't matter. If anything, they've proven wins and losses absolutely matter. Like, look at what happened to Kevin Owens. Look what happened to Shinsuke Nakamura. Look what happened to Asuka. You had these can't miss people that are now nothing. And if you book them, and it's like, almost to be honest, I think the Daniel Bryan thing from 3 to 4 years ago, or whatever that was the worst thing that ever happened to this company, because it made them think that they could book against someone and the fans would, like, lift that person up. In fact, when I saw Sami Zayn start to lose constantly, I was convinced they were trying to make him the next Bryan when he was losing constantly. And look what happens. Daniel Bryan was once in a 10 to 15 year type of talent who came along at the right time with the fans liking him for the right reasons. Like, that doesn't happen again. And it's like, they try and do this kind of stuff and they're not good at their own product. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, the complicated part of this industry is the production and the recap videos and being able to travel and put on this quality of a show and be able to find revenue streams and, like, but not to book it. Booking it is not that tough. Like, you just put it on like it's a sport. Make people suspend their disbelief. I think there's a lot of positive parts of the product. I think just the outcomes of the matches are deemed to not matter. They book people in the wrong way. It's like, just like, it's even the small stuff. So this Drake Maverick dude, right? He plays a face on 205 Live. Nobody cares about 205 Live. So that's, like, fine. But it's like, you have this monster tag team, AOP, right? So now
AOP,
their manager,
yep.
Now their manager is some guy that pissed their pants, which is like, okay, so the small guy pisses his pants. I guess someone in the back finds that funny. But now you have this monster tag team managed by this guy who you booked to piss his pants in a match. And it's like, it's these short-sighted, stupid things where it's like, God, no. Like, you can't have dumb, unfunny comedy attached to, like, two guys who should maybe be your second or third best tag team in your whole federation. Like, now it's just, it takes you out of things. Like, now these guys are going to be dealing with piss chants. It's just it's across the board. Like, Vince McMahon's hands are on everything. And, you know, like, read the Glassdoor reviews, because it's funny to think about this corporation as a real company. But, like, read the Glassdoor of reviews about people that work there. It seems to be like a 1960s work environment. Executives at the top covering up everything. No, it's all top. It's all top down. Like, decisions are made at the top. Nobody moves up. They make you work insane hours. Like, it's a bad organization. It's a hypocritical organization that tells people to not vote someone and then tries to get heat on Dean Ambrose by talking about, like, a leukemia. Fine. If you're going to talk about leukemia as a way to get heat on someone, fantastic. But then the next segment shouldn't be about their charity work and about how people shouldn't get bullied. It's just like they treat their fans like idiots. The dichotomy amongst what they are presenting to us is as if we don't remember anything that's happening. And it's clear, like, I will say this again. The President of the United States and Vince McMahon are the same exact person. And for anyone seeing the absolute shit show, it, like, just, like, basically poorly educated, poor decision, only in his own mind, only thinking about his own, like, choices, living in a bubble of people that are just set, telling him yes, there is a complete and utter connection between the two people. And, like, this company will not be better until Vince is dead. Like, that is, CM Punk was right about that. Once he dies, I actually think it will be better. But until the guy is dead, it's going to look a lot like Trump is running it. And that's unfortunate for fans because we're never going to get what we want.
Well, I mean, that's necessarily true because we did get Evolution. We did get, you know, NXT War Games. But that's not what we want, you know, as far as main roster consistency goes. And as far as, you know, Vince isn't the only one that has a hand in these decisions, man. You got Jamie Noble. You've got Carino. You've got Regal. You've got Finlay. You've got Brookside. You've got all the people saying, okay, I found this guy, I found this gal. They gave us NXT UK, but that wasn't necessarily Vince, that was Hunter. And when you mention a guy like CM Punk, that's absolutely one of my favorite on-edge gimmicks of all time, and it's kind of what my character is based on. And the reason why me and my friend discuss World Wrestling Entertainment in regards to, okay, eventually, yes, we do want to be there, but at the same token, when you've got all these decisions to make, and Vince has lost all this money, yet it seems like I agree with some points, and, you know, at some point in time, that's why I just stick to what I like, you know, that's NXT. And also, that's why I branched out outside of WWE and started watching, you know, like Ring of Honor. And I surprised, you know, that Vince wanted to ban them from going to the Garden, you know, that's like one, that's like holy ground in New York, you know, for wrestling. And it's funny, I'm like, why should you ban your competition? It's funny, he's banning his partner and his competition from performing inside MSG because I believe they wanted something as simple as NXT TakeOver to be inside there. It's like, you've got, we've got Barclays, man. We've got a shit ton of venues we can use for NXT. It's just, as far as quality goes, I mean, Vince takes the rap because, yeah, he is the guy that everyone blames. And a lot of, some of the decisions, though, are Triple H, too. Bringing back Batista for Royal Rumble. Your point about Daniel Bryan being one of the worst decisions, that's agree to disagree, not to, you know, be unpeaceful about it. But if you're a small guy in a big man's world and you were trained at Shawn Michaels' school and various other wrestling schools and you had to work really hard to get to that point of winning a championship, I mean, it was a great moment, and it was kind of hard to parallel because the Undertaker's streak was over. There's a lot of things that Vince does that he doesn't have to answer to. But also, keep in mind, man, if it weren't for him, we would not have marquee, you know, events that have turned into shit shows like WrestleMania, Rumble, Survivor Series. It's hit and miss. So I just, you know, that's why I said there's silver linings in wrestling, and Vince is to blame for certain things, but I wouldn't necessarily blame him for everything. Oh, he dropped his call. That was weird.
Oh.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention, my friend. But, yes, thank you, Tom, for calling. I should keep you in mind the next time that you call on a show. And no, folks, he was not a roommate because we're from New York. That's not how this works. You know?
He was a random caller.
He was a random caller. I didn't say, hey, call into my show, bro. Anyways, folks, as I was saying, I don't believe you know, Granny, some of the points he made was great. It was great to have a valid opinion, but I will say stick up for Vince in this regard. I don't think giving, you know, Daniel Bryan the opportunity to win the championship was such a bad idea. That was not one of the worst decisions made in wrestling history, in my opinion, my friend. I'm just, you know, friendly, agree to disagree. It gave someone an opportunity, and giving someone an opportunity is what Vince does, and he's one of the things, folks, that please negate, Tom, the next time you call in, from referencing politics. My show, The Marquee, clearly states on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, I am a wrestling show only. I do not talk or discuss politics because I do not find that appealing or attractive to discuss. It's not something Granny and I are fond of because we've been called communist and various other names. So next time, just please keep in mind, man, we love your opinions. I mean, you made some very, very good points. It's always good to have other people on the show. Always good. However, there are a few things that you said that kind of caught my attention. You don't ever want to say things like, oh, it'd be better off if Vince were dead. I mean, how would you feel if you walked into work and someone said, yeah, things would be much better off if you were in the grave? This is,
yeah,
Granny, Vince, whether you love him or hate him, he's the godfather of professional wrestling, one of the many. And the reason I can say that is because I have been in the same room. No, I'm not entitled and I'm not anybody special, but I have been behind the scenes, my friend, and I do know a little bit, not everything, about how things work and operate. Yes, NXT is a competition within itself. However, when you call him a show, man, I love your opinions and I will let you say anything you want so long as you don't reference few things. The death of somebody that's still present. Two, when you refer to the President of the United States, keep in mind, man, I have a broadened audience that's probably laughing their ass off at me. But just refrain from discussing anything political references, sexual references, unless it's funny as fuck. Still refrain from using something so derogatory that I cannot air it. Keep in mind, I have to edit this episode. I have to make sure that it's right. I just have respect for people, you know, around me, and also a man that gave an opportunity to not just me, Kurt, former friend Kyle, to be extras on the show. It wasn't Vince's company, man. He's part of the company. So, yes, Vince McMahon is to blame for certain things, but not everything. You can't just pinpoint the blame and say, oh, you know, everything revolves around Vince. You make a mistake when you pinpoint one person that is literally the godfather, one of the many godfathers of professional wrestling. There's Vince McMahon. There's Stone Cold Steve Austin. There's Triple H. There's Shane McMahon. There's godfathers and godmothers. Stephanie McMahon, whether you love her or hate her, folks, she has played a big role in professional wrestling as far as giving the women opportunities. So, yes, the McMahons have their faults. Am I defending them 100%? The answer I'm going to tell you is I don't speak for Vince McMahon, and I'm pretty sure I don't speak for, you know, certain people. But, Tom, if you want to come back in, man, you can. Okay, you don't want to. Okay, cool. Anyways, I know my roommate Vinny's like, oh, he's from Manhattan. Cool, whatever. You know, New York, New York. He's got a 310 zip or area code. Anyways. Granny, do you think that that has some validity, though? Like, if the company was out without Vince, it would be a decent company. I mean, that's neither here nor there because it could be still a shit show
company.
Well,
we cannot honestly give our opinion about that because we don't know if it would be better or if it would not be better if something happened to Vince. You know, I mean, you just kind of have to go with the flow and, you know, one day at a time, you know, because, hey, people, you know, let me tell you something. We're not promised tomorrow. And this is what I tell my friends all the time. You know, you need to live today like it's going to be your last day because we're not promised tomorrow. Like, and the reason why I'm throwing out there that out there is I have a very good friend right now that is laying in a hospital bed. His kidneys have shut down. He's in acute heart failure. His liver is not working. I mean, basically, his wife had to make the hardest decision of her life yesterday to basically take him off of life support today. I mean, the man, and she was saying that anybody wanted to come see him, you know, which room he was in. I told my husband, I said, I cannot bring myself to go see him because I want to remember him the way I knew him before he started having the heart attacks, before he got very, very, very sick. I want to remember the smiling face on my friend's face. I want to remember that smile. I don't want to see my friend suffering, laying in a hospital bed, you know, on a breathing machine. I don't want that to be the last thing I remember about my very good friend before he passes away, you know. And so, you know, people, we're not promised, none of us are promised tomorrow. I mean, I had a little episode last Saturday morning that kind of really, really scared me, you know, and my blood pressure bottomed out on me. And I thought it was my blood sugar because I got clammy, but it was actually my blood pressure bottomed out. So I went to the doctor. Well, I don't have any more answers than what I did before I went to the doctor last Friday. So, you know, folks, it is what it is. But no, we cannot sit there and say, oh, WWE would be better, you know, if Vince was gone. We cannot say that. And I would never say that. And neither would B-Train, because we have respect for people that's in this business. I mean, B-Train has worked business. No, I have never been a worker in the business, but I am a fan. But I know enough about this business that you have to be respectful to people. You have to show them your respect. You have to give them your respect. Respect is not an earned thing. Is not a given thing. You have to earn somebody's respect. But that also being said, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, WWE would be better if, you know, if Vince was gone. I would never say that. I mean, I would never, ever, ever say that, because I have had many friends that have been extras on WWE. So I respect the business. I respect Vince McMahon as, you know, the owner, you know, I respect Triple H, even though I've never met Triple H. I respect him. I respect Stephanie, even though I may not agree with some of the things that she does, some of the things that Triple H does. I have to respect those people, because as a fan, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, well, this would be better if this was done, or this would be better if that person was around. No, I would never say that. Not ever.
I mean, I believe, you know, there are certain words to describe, you know, our friend. It's very nice that you had an opinion, but when you start crossing the line and comparing two different people, yes, McMahon is affiliated with Trump. We're well aware of that, okay? We're well aware that Trump endorses Vince and his endeavors. However, you know, political aside, like, really, dude, like I said, can you please, if you come on my show the next time, all I ask is that you refrain from referencing anybody political, because I know that we come from New York and we know we like to finagle political discussions on the fucking train and the bus or whatever, or wherever, or the car ride on the fucking George Washington Bridge or the whatever. Please, all I'm asking, do not disrespect an owner for which you have no clue about, and you probably just read, like, we as New Yorkers, we read and we formulate an opinion, and we think that opinion is word. Let me explain something to you, my friend. You're from Manhattan, I'm from Brooklyn. Do I care about distance? No, because it's a 45-minute train ride. But for you to sit there and say something about somebody on live air,
to say that you wish death upon somebody. That's not very wise. And I may disagree with some of the business decisions that Vince makes, but he is making the decisions himself because why? Unless, like Danny Cage says, unless you are making the money, why should they give two flying fucks about you? Why should they care? So, yeah, it got ugly in a real hurry, Tom, because you sat there and formulated an opinion that was your opinion, which you have a right to. But, you know, dude, it's dumb because what if you were interviewed for a job tomorrow with WWE? Are you going to sit there and say, wow, the company would be much better if you were dead? Dude, it's one of those things, Granny, think before you speak. Think before you speak is what I'm going to say because you cannot, dude. And in regards to what Tommy Dreamer said at the Overdrive show, whether you're in, you know, Overdrive or Wrestling Revolver or Evolve, please be supportive. Don't tear each other down. That's the problem now. We're so busy and concerned about tearing one another down, yet we lose sight, man, of what's really important. And what's really important in wrestling is not about who has the better product. Okay, that is important because it draws fans to you. But what's important, Granny, in my opinion, is if you are able to get your message across to the fans. And yes, Vince does have issues. Who doesn't? He's suffering because he didn't have it as good as he did in the 90s. Are you sure about that? Yeah, he's got his hands on everything. He's like Al Davis when he was running the Raiders. See, that's a much better reference because those are two different people in two different spectrums. But the reason I make that comparison is because as a Raiders fan, it got frustrating seeing Al Davis dipping his hand in the cookie jar and then getting bit by snakes because he ran his mouth. Now does Vince run his mouth? You better have fucking confidence as a wrestling promoter, because if he didn't have confidence in what he was doing, even though it's a shit show, I mean, look, you've got to understand your way around, man. You've got to understand that this show is about wrestling, and please, I'll say it for the umpteenth time. We had a great caller. You know, if you want to call in our show, you're more than welcome. But all I ask, my friend, is please do not reference two things. The death of an owner in a company that is still alive and kicking, and he's healthy as hell, man. Vince has still got some spunk in him. And two, if think about it this way. You know that I have an international audience. They don't care. Yes, they do. At one point, I had, let's see here, Australia. I still kind of do. I've got Latvia. I've got France. Norway, the US of A, the UK, I've got China listening to me. I mean, dude, look, they may not agree with what Vince says either or does, but it'd be wise to think, you know, the saying in that Madame Cherie says to Joseph Bouquet, perhaps maybe you would prove that it would prove that prudent silence is wise. Okay? Those who speak of what they know may find that prudent silence is wise there. That's the whole phrase that she actually says. So when you speak of a company, please understand. Just please understand and please have a presence of mind. That's all Granny and I ask of you, okay? We appreciate the phone calls. We're going to wrap it up by saying happy early Turkey Day from Wrestle Radio Network. We will have a show Wednesday. I'm going to try and message Icon, Granny. I am going to try and message him because we need to get a third opinion on what was Survivor Series. And, folks, just for future reference, Granny, I mean, last but not least, it is wise to think before you open your mouth on airwaves. Especially.
Yes. Yes.
Because we are a wrestling podcast, we don't know if they're listening or not. We don't know. They could be, you know, doing live shows. It doesn't matter, but they have time in the back to listen to shows, dude. So please just.
And we certainly do not want to get ourselves into trouble with somebody like with WWE, something that is being said on our show. I mean, you know, yes, we all have opinions on how we feel about it sometimes, but I try to be respectful enough that I'm not going to say something that is going to be hurtful to someone or hurtful to a company. Or, you know, yes, I know I call Baron Corbin boring, but to me sometimes he is boring, but that's my opinion. I mean,
we it's just, how do I put this, man? The next time you call in, feel free to say whatever you want.
Just keep in mind, I have to keep a show running. It's not the Sam Roberts podcast. It's not, you know, a podcast that's well-known, but I've had some well-known names on here. Danny Cage, Flying Brian Pillman Jr. I've had JT Davidson on here. I've had Ring of Honor stars on here, Travis Gordon. Travis Swift Gordon before Ring of Honor. If you want to look back in my archives, you're more than welcome to. Like I said, dude, I don't have a problem with you as a person, but, dude, some of the shit you said, like Daniel Bryan winning a championship, I do not take offense to it, but it's agreed to disagree. And when you do that, you're going to piss off a lot of fans. That would be like if back in the day that Shawn Michaels didn't beat the big guys, man, like Diesel or Vader or Razor Ramon. Shawn was like Daniel back in the day. Nobody wanted to see a little guy beat a big guy. But Shawn Michaels, comparatively speaking, Daniel Bryan, they went through a lot of turmoil just to get to that point. And for you to say that was the biggest mistake, really, dude? Again, think before what you say, because certain fans will argue the points with you. Yes, I do know a lot about Daniel Bryan's storied history, because not only because I read his book, because I've actually met the dude, spoke with him for a little bit. That doesn't mean I personally know the guy, but I don't know him from the perspective that I can say he's personally my friend. What I'm trying to say is, when a guy that struggles through turmoil and going through several wrestling lied about using college money for a wrestling school that shut down, or the fact that he had to go through so much hell just to get to that point at WrestleMania 30. I mean, I read the book, Granny, and it was, and I'm just like, it was sad, because as people know, Daniel Bryan's father is no longer here, and he died the day before or the day after his wedding. So for him to have his moment at WrestleMania 30, you don't ever take that away from a worker, dude. That's like saying, okay, you got all these promotions, but we're going to demote you back down to this position because we found a better suited candidate. Like, dude, I have a feeling you're just one of those people that is a great fan. You know, you have great discussions with your friends, but your opinion never gets challenged. Or maybe it does. I could be wrong. But to say things like that, CM Punk was right, it would be much better off if this guy was dead. Dude, Vince is healthier than a horse, and unless he has a coronary or, you know, he has a heart attack or whatever happens to him, he's still fucking kicking. So that comment really about him being referenced to be the same guy as Trump, he has his hands in everything. No, he doesn't. If he had his hands in everything, yes, he has to approve certain things that go through to him. But does he have his hands in NXT? No. Does he have his hands in 205 Live? He is the owner of the company, but you guys don't realize there are certain areas and aspects that Vince steps back and says, okay, I'll let Hunter handle it. Okay, I'll let Stephanie handle this. So please don't assume that the blame falls solely on Vince when it comes to company mishaps or, you know, misfortunes that happen. I mean, I agree with the whole segment, you know, thing about, you know, leukemia or whatever, you know, and you just end up talking about charities. But Granny, to close this out, you know, I enjoyed having a caller. It's been a while. But there are a few things, folks, that I'm going to remind you of. This show is not a dictatorship. You can say whatever the hell you want comes to mind, but please refrain from using political references or wishing someone would be dead. That's it.
Okay.
That's pretty much all I have to say. You wanted a rant? Fine. You kind of were the tail end of the rant, my friend. In not a bad way, but just in please be aware kind of way. All right, if you didn't believe in what I'm telling you or like what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you, and I'm going to add a little twist to the end. Got three choice words with a little adage. If you didn't like what good old Brian Rails had to say to you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Oh, and don't get caught on the wrong side of our tracks, Jack.
And if you don't like what Granny Hulkster has to say, what you gonna do when Granny Hulkster goes crazy on you? Join us again tomorrow night, 11:30 Central Time, 12:30 p.m., 12:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And from all of us to all of you, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Crazy football week. Have fun. Do not kill each other over football games. All right? Dig it.
Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something personality, the cult of personality, the cult of personality.